supposedly to be a celebration of one's lifetime, but it ended up being a discovery of one's worst nightmare. So Dr. Jocelyn Chong was a Christian who is living a life at its best. She's young, she is a medical doctor, and she's happily married. She's 28, and she's a doctor in Australia, and she has her own clinic. But while she was making her trip from Australia, flying back to Malaysia to celebrate her sister's wedding, she found some red spots on her legs. And as a doctor herself, she knew that this is a big red flag. And immediately, she went to the clinic or to the hospital to get her blood tested and to get her body checked. The result came to her by the doctor, and the doctor told her, "This is the result. You have leukemia. You have blood cancer. And this is not a normal one. This is one that's very aggressive. It's not typical." So she immediately got advised from her doctors in Australia and the local doctors in Malaysia that she must get treatment immediately because she won't make it if she fly back to Australia. So during her treatment, there's a lot of chemotherapy, there's a lot of pain and a lot of suffering. And her family and her husband and herself started to pray to God together and asked the Lord to heal her. But while she was in the hospital bed by herself, very lonely, very painful, she asked this question, quote for quote, "If God doesn't heal me the way I am praying for, will I still proclaim that He works all things for good, that He is loving and faithful?" In other words, her statement here, or her question here, is that if she prayed and God doesn't heal her, will she still remain faithful? Will she still believe God is still God, the God that she knew before? That's a very, very challenging question, maybe the most challenging one among Christians that they could ever face. Now, it is very tempting sometimes for us Christians when we pray or when we ask God for help, we ask in a way where we think what we ask for is the best thing for us, as if we know more than God. But is it? Is it really? Are the stuff that we ask God for, is that the best thing for us? Is that the best answer? As Christians, as God's people, there's a need for us to ask God for help in the right way, in an appropriate way, in an appropriate manner. Now, the question today is for us is that how can we ask God for help appropriately? Or what is the right way to ask God for help, particularly when we are feeling extremely desperate, when we are extremely in need of God's help? Now, there's a very odd man who came and approached Jesus Christ one day, and he asked Jesus a very odd request, and Jesus responded to him in return with a very interesting response. Now, first we'll see a leper would ask Jesus for help in a certain way. And as for us, when we ask God for help, God still remains as the ultimate authority. And when you ask God for help, ask in the right mentality and respond to Him maturely. Today our text is Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. And in this text, St. Matthew here described the first incident right after the event of the Sermon on the Mount. Let's all rise and read these verses together with me. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. And he came down from the mountain. Great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for proof to them." You may be seated. Now, very short verse, or very short passage, but yet very powerful, very meaningful, and very interesting. Now, first off, Jesus came down from the mountain in verse 1, as we see, with a bunch of followers. Now, he just came off from preaching maybe the most famous sermon of all time, the Sermon on the Mount. And there was a lot of a huge following at that time, at that point, and even he remained having a lot of followers even after he came down from the mountain giving the sermon. Now, what that means is, by this point, his popularity had risen, and one of the reasons is because, or speculated reasons is because, he was teaching something very new, very unique, that the Jews had not heard of from their local scribes. He was teaching something very interesting and things that they have not heard of. And that may have attracted a great crowd and a great following that he had. His popularity changed or went up because of his unique teachings. Now, when we go to verse 2, we see a leper came out of nowhere, come and find him. Now, it's a bit weird because a leper would be placed somewhere outside the city. So when he came down and he saw a leper, that's something quite odd. But this is according to the Matthew's chronology, that this happened right after the Sermon on the Mount. Now, there's a few things we can see with this leper's way of treating Jesus. There are two really key words that shows how much respect the leper is giving to Jesus Christ when he saw him. Now, first word is knelt. Now, the word knelt can also mean worship or bow down. You usually would do this when you see someone with high authority. Now, second word is Lord. Now, we sometimes think that, whenever someone say Lord in the Bible, it has to mean Lord God. But not exactly. In this case, it most probably means, because there's some nuance with the word Lord, it could mean a polite address to someone. It's kind of like calling someone sir or ma'am today, or equivalent. So this shows you that the leper had a great amount of respect to Jesus. Now, he said this really weird statement in verse 2. "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Now, this statement shows that it is a conditional sentence. Now, what that means is, the leper had to ask Jesus in a way that he had to depend on Jesus whether he's willing to heal him or not. Now, when you are suffering or in a great pain or when you're about to die, would you ask someone to help in this way as if saying, "Hey, can you help me if you can or if you're willing to?" You won't. When you're about to die, obviously you would throw out demanding statements, or you would be using imperative sentence or showing your rudeness, "Hey, come and help me, you know, because I'm about to die." But not with this leper. In fact, this leper did not command Jesus or took Jesus for granted to heal him. Now, what that means is, The leper doesn't know whether Jesus will heal him or not. He doesn't know. He didn't expect him to heal him for sure. Now, this shows that the leper here recognizes Jesus' authority. And he was being submissive to him when he asked his help. Now, in verse 3, we see Jesus was cleansed the leper. Now, there are two actions. Jesus had two actions followed with actually two Greek words in response when he answered this leper's request. Now, the first two actions are stretch out his hand and touch him. And the two words, or two Greek words that followed afterwards was, I will, and then semicolon, be clean. Now, this is a very bold move for Jesus at the time, because when someone contracted leper, you would not want to touch them. And not just it's contagious, but it's also not a typical disease. It was a disease that was deemed as ritually unclean. Or in other words, if you're a Jew, you definitely won't touch a leper. Now, so when someone contracted leprosy, it means that they have to be quarantined or isolated outside of the community. Do you guys remember what's COVID-19? Probably not too long ago. Yeah, it's something very similar to COVID-19. When you contracted COVID, you would have to isolate yourself and quarantine for a few days or a few weeks. It's a very similar situation with leprosy. So Jesus responded to him by touching the leper, by healing him through touching him. And Jesus healed him instantly. Now, after Jesus healed and cleansed the leper, Jesus commanded him three things. Now, he commanded him three things in a chronological order. Don't tell anyone about it. Show himself to the priest and offer a gift. Now, when you see these three commands, you might ask the question, why would Jesus ask the leper not to tell anybody as the first one in the three commands? Now, usually, when someone commands others to a list of things to do, if they put the first one in the list, it's usually the most important one. It's the one in highest priority. So that means Jesus' command for him is the most important one, is to don't tell anyone. Now, when we hear that, we might ask another question. Why wouldn't Jesus want the leper to tell everybody about his testimony of what God has, or what Jesus had done for him, so that the gospel could be advanced? But why wouldn't Jesus allow him to do that? Doesn't make sense. Now, there's a few reasons why Jesus would tell him not to tell people about this. Because, first of all, Jesus doesn't want others to take advantage of his blessing with a self-serving heart. Jesus didn't come to earth to be just a mere or just a normal wonder worker to heal people, but he came to proclaim the gospel so that people can get eternal salvation. That was his main mission. And another reason why Jesus didn't want him to tell anybody was because, this is a little bit political, Jesus wanted to be more under the radar of the Roman government at the time, because if the Roman government find out too much of what he was doing, this weird man was doing, Jesus would be arrested. But at this point, at this moment, Jesus don't think it's wise for anybody to know too much about what he's doing, because it's too early for him to get arrested. His work has not been finished yet on earth. So here we see in this passage that Jesus was willing to heal and cleanse this leper. And he told the leper not to tell anybody about it. Now, today, For today, will Jesus help us when we ask for his help, particularly when we are desperate? God is still in authority when we ask for his help. Now, when we ask God for help, we should ask according to God's will. We oftentimes ask God according to our will, as if we are commanding God what to do, as if we know more than what God knows. Now, but the fact is, if we ask in that way, who is God then? Are we playing God? Are we being God? We may act as if we are God ourselves and trying to lead God what to do without knowing or without realizing it. But if we do that, then who is the leader? Who is the one leading? Are we leading or God leading? Is God the leader? We should be as submissive to God when we ask him, when we ask for his help. We also should carry and heart to admit ourselves that we are undeserving, we're sinful, and we don't deserve God's help when we ask him, humbling ourselves. Because we didn't deserve his help even in the very first place, as sinners ourselves. We didn't even deserve to live in the first place. So it is up to God's will to answer our prayer or not, because it is him who created us. He is the boss. Ultimately, he is the one who created the world, not us. So when God answers our prayer, we should be careful with how we handle our testimony. Now, our testimonies are not meant to tell anybody at any time. Now, God may at times answer what we ask him, but that is not guaranteed all the time. Now, it is tempting, I understand it is tempting for us to tell others what God has done for us, but it may not happen the same way for others. What if God doesn't answer us? Does that mean we lack faith? Remember the incident with Apostle James and Apostle Peter, recorded by Luke, when they were both thrown in prison, and the early church were praying for Peter and James to be released and delivered from the prison. Remember what happened? Peter was released or was delivered, but James was not. James was, in fact, remained in prison and was executed. Now, does that mean Peter had more faith than James? That's why he was delivered? Or does it mean James has less faith compared to Peter? That's why he was left in prison and was executed and was not saved. No, because it's all part of God's plan. Actually, both died. Both have to die, but it's just a matter of time. One has to die earlier before the other. This is why some churches avoid public testimony, because it's very easy to promote and teach prosperity gospel. The more faithful you are, or the more faithful we are, the more blessings we get from God. Oh, you don't get that blessings from God? You're probably not too faithful enough. You lack faith. That's not the gospel that's described in Scripture. That's not the real gospel. That's a false gospel. That's not taught in Holy Scripture. God has the right not to help us, regardless of our faith. At the end of the day, this is hard, but we are to accept God's decision. So how do you pray, and how do you handle your testimony? Pray according to God's will, and be careful with your testimony. Be careful with how you respond to God. Now, when we pray selflessly, not selfishly, but selflessly. Pray according to God's will and not on our own will. God, Please help me to get into my favorite college, preferably Ivy League. Why? Because I work very hard, I spend so much time on it, and I deserve it. Well, isn't it better for you to get into a lower ranked college so that you can be more humble and more dependent on God instead of your own egos and achievements? God, heal me. I've got a cancer. I'm about to die. Why? Because I deserve to live longer and to spread your testimony that what you have done on me so that more people can accept the gospel. Well, isn't it better for you to die earlier than to suffer more on earth, that you have to succumb? That's what all the saints from the Old Testament to the New Testament asked for. Remember Moses, Elijah, Jonah, Paul, and others? They all asked for their life to end early at some point in their life. How about pray this way? Lord, I've worked very hard. I've done my best. I've given out what I can to apply for this college. And I really wanted to enter this college. But help me if this is your will. But if this is not your will, please lead me to one that best fits me according to your will, as you know more than me. Or how about this? How about pray this way? God, I have this disease or cancer, and I'm suffering, and I'm in great pain, and I'm fearing to meet my own death. Lord, if this is your will, may you deliver and heal me. But if not, may you help me to accept your decision and help me to live the best witness I can for the rest of my life. Now, it is easy to say it, and it's very easy to listen to these teachings. But reality is harsh, it's difficult, it's brutal. It's hard to face. Reality is very hard to face, because that's just how the game is played in the world. But God listens to selfless prayers and not selfish prayers. Pray with a submissive attitude to God's authority. Believe that God is in control, is in power, because your life is under God's hand. He created you. When God answers your prayer, keep it to yourselves. Thank Him quietly, because God is not a genie. He's not one who would grant you the wishes that you ask Him for. He's not a man-made idol. So don't promote Christ that way, as if it's another religion. This faith doesn't work this way. What if God doesn't answer your prayer? Or what if God answers your prayer and not others? Or worse, what if God doesn't answer your prayer? This challenging question is, will you still proclaim His name if He doesn't? Will you still be faithful to God if God did not answer the prayer that you wish you have? Have you ever heard of a public testimony that has a failed ending? Because I haven't. All of the public testimonies are success stories. They have a formula. I happen to have this thing, and then I did this, and then I got this. It's like a formula. They all end up with a very happy ending and successful story, but I've never heard one public testimony that's about a failed ending, but the person or individual still remain faithful to God at the end, even they themselves did not receive what they wanted from God. The standard for a Christian life or a Christian living is very high. It's actually inhumanely high, because the purpose is for us, or for you and I, to depend on God to live out the Christian life and not depend on ourselves. Only God can help you and I. So at the end of the day, fortunately, we have to accept the will of God, whether you like it or not. So pray according to God's will and be careful with your testimonies. Now, we saw the leper had asked Jesus in a very peculiar way, as if asking Jesus for help according to Jesus' will, and Jesus asked him not to tell anybody what he had done for him. Now, when we ask God for help, God still remains as the ultimate authority. He remains the one who will grant or not grant our answers. And you will pray according to God's will and not on your own will. You will pray selflessly, not selfishly, and you will handle your testimony and your response from God maturely. Now, Dr. Jocelyn contracted blood cancer a few years ago. But happily, at the end of the year 2023, December 2023, her treatment was successful, and in the year 2024, she was released from the hospital, and it was a year of recovery and a year of readjusting her new life back to the community life that she had missed from the hospital, kind of like the leper. But, however, by the end of the year 2024, the nightmare haunted her back again. The blood cancer relapsed, and she had to go back to the hospital and get treatment and suffer the pain and chemotherapy. Now, this time, this is her response, quote for quote. "I had to accept that if God heals or does not heal me, I will be okay with the outcome. I need to be able to say that he is still good." Now, in other words, Jocelyn will want to or is accepting God's will, whether God will heal her or not this time. Now, this is Jocelyn is a very rare believer where she puts out a very great example, almost an epitome, of someone who would still remain faithful to God even when she did not got the answer from God that she wanted from. Even she didn't got what she prayed for. Even when she is facing her own death, she tried to remain faithful to God. Now, life can be very difficult. Reality can be brutal. But at the end of the day, we have to accept God's will because we are made by Him and He had created our life and the world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we confess ourselves to you that we may at times very tempted to pray selfishly and not selflessly, to ask your help as if we know more than you. But may the Spirit help us to pray and ask you in a selfless way and ask you according to your will and not our will, and help us to handle how we promote your gospel properly and justly so that your gospel will not be violated and to be taught falsely. May you help us to reflect on this text of your message that you have given us today throughout this week. And we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Son of God. Amen.
With this response, so make me a blessing.